Open your eyes. Wake up, Link.
I'm Luke Summerhayes.
I'm James J. Miles.
And I'm James the Jaster Stewart.
And you're listening to Higher of Field Report. And Jas, what did we do last week?
Last week we were all talking about Kakariko Village.
And Jay, what are we up to this time?
That's, you know, impressive. The listeners might think we're doing the same recording session. this time we are going to head towards the Farren region on the back of the little tip we got in the Ring Ruins to head down to that neck of the woods. But we're probably going to get quite sidetracked before we get back to the main quest, though.
Yeah, so naturally we want to head to the Farren region. The first thing we're going to do is teleport ourselves to the Highland Stable. And in the stable, something we haven't spoken about yet, every stable has a big empty frame.
Yes, which leads us to a whole quest series about filling up the decor of each of the stables. So each of the innkeepers will have a quest for us to take a very particular snapshot. Some of them at very particular times of day, some of them particular things from particular angles, but ultimately whatever picture you take is going up inside the stable, so it better be a good one.
Yeah, some of them are very just like, okay, I just walk to this thing that's nearby and take a picture.
Yes.
And some of them are like a little puzzle in the manner of when we were doing the like eighth heroine mystery in the Gerudo Desert, we had to like stand at a certain angle so that three broken blocks lined up and we could read them, sort of thing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It almost gets into that kind of territory for a couple of them.
Yeah, there's one that I can think of in particular we'll get to that I remember a multitude of ways that I tried to get this particular snapshot, but some of them are
any of these, you know that.
Well, you're about to find out how. Yeah. You're about to find out how to do them all.
Spoilers all the way, yeah.
Indeed, indeed.
Oh, I've been speedrunning them over the last couple of days because I hadn't done them. And Jay kept mentioning that we're going to have to do them eventually on this podcast.
Probably should have done that. Probably should have done that yesterday when I saw the document.
So, we're starting at the Highland Stable, so let's start with the picture for the Highland Stable. This neck of the woods, we spoke about this when we covered the Penquest, is all related to the kind of main tourist attraction, I suppose, beyond being a gateway into the Farren region and to down to Lurelin, is the Lake of the Horse God and the Horse God Bridge that's nearby there, where I forget the spirit's name now. It is, of course.
Oh, they always offer you a bed
Melania,
as well.
Melania.
Yes, Melania bed.
That's the one, yes, and that's where Melania used to live. But here, there's still a god amongst horses, shall we say. The giant white stallion. They want a picture of that. So you go up to where the giant white stallion is, which is, I think, if I remember rightly, is exactly where Melania used to be.
Mm-hmm.
You can follow the
route. I've definitely done that quest. The stallion quest.
There we go. Yeah, and you'll get the white stallion, you'll take a snap of it, and you'll be happy with that. You can actually take it and stable it as well if you want to. So.
Yeah, well, I actually got the stallion before I got this quest. So I just took it out, took a picture of it, and put it back in the stable.
I think.
Because there's another fellow you need to catch the white stallion to get a shrine.
Correct. I think we spoke about that quest as well. Yes.
Yeah.
I'm already saying the giant white stallion wasn't in the game initially. In Breath of the Wild, sorry. It was the giant...
I don't know. Yeah, I don't think it was. There was the white horse that was Zelda's.
That's the one I'm thinking about.
Well, it was like the caramel gold. I remember because I called mine Karamak. It's like a slightly golden white.
It's like a golden Karamak, yeah.
But, yep, quick and easy, that one. Nothing puzzly really about it at all. So there we go.
Not puzzly, but there is, like, if you don't already have the horse, it is a little quest.
I guess you could say that, yeah.
And I do like that the they acknowledge that the horse god used to be there in Breath of the Wild.
Mm.
Like, you know, because it would be a big deal if something like that moved. And I guess, does that mean this horse is, like, the horse god in horse form? Is this horse Jesus?
I mean, not the reading I took of it. I took it as when we had, like, the big Ganon horse. I named the... I'm pretty sure I named the Ganondorf, the Ganon horse Ganondorf, because at that point we didn't have a Ganondorf in the game. And I think I named this one... I think I might have named it Daphnes after the King of Red Lions.
Do you know what I named this horse?
Shadowfax.
Big Chungus.
Oh, for fuck's sake.
Well, actually, that's a lie. It didn't quite fit, so I named it Big Chung.
Big Chung. Go on then, Jas, what did you name your big white horse?
I don't remember. Probably something daft. It's not really easy to remember.
We've got the nerd answer. We've got the ship poster answer that look at me. Well, while you fire your game up, we'll await that revelation. If we head along to the Lakeside stable, which is the stable overlooking Lake Floria in the Farren region itself. The picture that they want is Floria Falls, but as seen on a clear day. So this is a bit more puzzly than the last one.
Is it puzzly or is it just waiting?
Okay, yeah, I suppose. Fit it like that. So yeah, you need just to I pretty much rested by a campfire over and over again to kind of reset the weather until eventually clear day.
I ended up doing that not for this quest, but for our screenshot for that episode. Because I had to have that picture because you'd said how beautiful it was.
Question, I don't know if you still had that picture saved. Or did you take a screenshot with the Twitch screenshot button?
No, yeah, I think... I can't remember. Maybe I did take a Twitch screenshot and no photo. I think I had to do it twice.
There we go. Because that would have been interesting if you took that screenshot for the pod and, that worked then. I would have been curious to know that, but hey-ho.
Yeah, if I'd taken it as an in-game photo, I could have done. And it would have meant I had a selfie of Link as the painting.
He's done enough for this place, this world. He deserves
some. So there's some props. Right outside my apartment, there's like an underpass.
Mm-hmm.
And it has these big empty like frames where obviously some sort of poster is meant to go. But literally in the almost 6 years I've lived here, they've been empty. So I've got this idea that before I leave, I'm going to just get some big prints of like photos of me posing and sneak them in there overnight before I leave. So there'd just be all these like glamour shots of me like, you know, in a suit and tie, giving a little wink to the camera or lounging on a sofa and stuff.
That's a big Link hanging up.
I've made it to the stable and the reason I don't remember is because I never boarded the horse, never caught it.
Well then, that begs a question to ask. What would you name it? Put you in the spot.
You really put me in the spot. Oh, I can think of as Big Chungus too.
Big Chungus too.
Okay.
even though it wouldn't fit. So what would it be? Chungtu.
Chungtu, there we go. Great.
Chungus, but the S's are two.
Completely original thought, you know? I don't have many horses. Like, most of them are like the ones I saved from Breath of the Wild were named after Dark Souls bosses. And two that I caught, and I only caught two horses in Tears of the Kingdom. One is Zelda's horse, which original name of Goldie, and just a random one I caught that I called Wombat.
Pride of place next to Pinwheel in your stable.
Next, no, I've only got Moonlight, Guinevere, Dusk, and Calamite.
Pinwheel died.
Yep.
My first horse in Tears of the Kingdom, I think I told this podcast, was the one I let Mercy name, so that one's called Mascarpone.
That's a pretty good name.
Yep. Then Zelda's horse I called Goldwind after JoJo's Bizarre Adventure.
Good. Yep.
Yep. And yeah, I don't think I've caught any others, but I didn't have to because I already had all my Breath of the Wild horses.
Well, moving on with our photo tour of Hyrule, over at the Dueling Peaks stable, they are looking for a painting of Hyrule's finest sunrise, which they say you can take from the summit of Tuft Mountain to the southeast of the stable. I'm looking on the map and I don't know where Tuft Mountain is. Is that the one? Yes, that's the one with the Heart Lake on it.
Oh, okay. Not the Broken Heart Lake.
Not the Broken Heart Lake, no. The actual Heart Lake itself. So I'm pretty sure this may be my most aesthetically pleasing of the bunch. Because I think I managed to get the Heart Lake in the picture with the sunrise, because the lighting kind of hitting the dapple water. Very nice.
Oh, yeah. Every Breath of the Wild / Tears of the Kingdom player is non-stop taking pictures of sunrises anyway, right? So,
yeah, probably like just rifle through his full album and going, oh yeah, got one of this already. Here you go.
Yeah, it's like the first stop right when you land on the Sky Islands for the first time, the golden grass and the sun. Easy scooch up.
Very, very bonny.
Sorry, I've never heard either of you just naturally use Bonnie before.
All right.
You'd give me a kick in if I used Bonnie doing an impression of you.
I would, correct.
Word is only set for so a certain section of people. Oh, we can use that word.
You're not one of them. It's our word.
More so for the attempt at the accent as opposed to the language used.
I see.
Moving on, I don't know.
If I just did it in my accent, like, oh look, what a bonny wee lass, that would be acceptable.
It would, but that's not your accent.
Yeah, you put on an accent to impersonate yourself. This is what I think I sound like.
That's because I was trying really hard not to accidentally do the Shrek voice.
So you had to go to like the opposite end of the spectrum. Yeah. See. Moving on. How about the Wetland Stable? You up for going there?
Yeah, let's do it.
Yeah. They want a picture, apropos of our last week's episode, they want a picture of the ring runes. And one that shows the ring shape of the runes very clearly. So you can, it's not hard to get this picture at all. I'm pretty sure you
stand in just the right spot in Kakariko Village, and
or even just go up the road a little bit. I'm pretty sure you can see it from,
oh yeah, you can see it from really far away.
Yeah, it's a proper landmark, so this one isn't hard at all to get.
Now that I think about it, it might have been harder to take it from Kakariko Village than to just take it from far away.
Yeah,
if you're meant to get the ring shape.
That's it. I should add as well that you do get little rewards from these. You usually get like a good food or a elixir, and you get a pony point as well.
Yes.
Which
at this point in the game, your pony points are getting you like, you should be close to filling them up. And then you're getting like extra slots for horses and some cool armor and stuff.
That's it, yeah. I mean, I think we'll run through the pony point rewards because we've not really spoken about them once we've done all these quests. I think that'll be a good finale to this.
Sure.
you know, why not?
Sorry, that wasn't meant to sound as sarcastic as it did.
It really did, though. let's move on to the Woodland Stable. This one wants you to take a picture of a Goron soaking in some hot springs.
Yeah, I actually, this one took me a minute because first I went to the Bedrock Bisto and there are springs there, but none of the Gorons are in them.
Mm-hmm.
But then I went up to the actual Goron city and there's like three generations of Gorons sat chilling together and it's a really cute little photo.
Yeah. I think that's where I got mine as well in the city.
I think there's like hot springs that they sit in as well, just to like the east of the Goron city as well.
That's right.
I think the reason I didn't go there, I didn't have as easy a warp point.
Yeah.
I'm going to tell you the reason I didn't go there is because if we go to the Foothill Stable, just along the road, they want a picture of the giant statue of the Rook that overlooks Goron city. So you're heading to Gordon City anyway to tick that one off. So yeah.
And again, I'd taken a screenshot of it for this podcast, but not an in-game photo.
Yeah, I see. You've done all these quests now, so you've not got an excuse to take up these pictures any longer with the camera. You'll have to just keep on screenshotting them. Shame. moving up to the Akala region. The South Akala Stable, they would like a picture of something in Tarrytown, specifically the Unity Bell.
Yeah, the tricky thing with this one, I went up there, took a picture of it, went back, realised it didn't identify it as the Unity Bell yet. There's an old couple you have to talk to, and they explain to you what it is, and then it will it'll let you take a picture where it actually says Unity Bell.
Oh, really? I did not know that.
You'd probably just naturally spoken to them, because I took a picture of it and it had... Instead, you know how when you're pointing your camera at something, it tells you what it is?
Yeah.
It was like, question mark, question mark, question mark.
Ah, okay.
And then I spoke to the old couple and they had a little chat about being in love and ringing the Unity Bell. And then the next time I pointed my camera at it, it actually...
It's pretty much a first for Tears of the Kingdom then, right? That you need to actually do certain steps to complete a quest. Albeit a very short side quest.
Yeah, it's literally right next to the thing.
Otherwise, the game just usually lets you skip steps.
You, if you figured out what it is, it wouldn't make you get the dialogue.
Mm-hmm. There's some quite cute lore actually with the Unity Bell. The innkeeper says that it's a bell that when two people ring it together, their love will last forever. And when you bring them the picture, he goes, it brings back memories. Me and my wife rang that once, and we're still happily married all these years later. So
that's cute.
Yeah, nice. I think the old couple in town talk about that as well. Is that not where Hudson gets married?
Yeah, in Breath of the Wild.
Yeah.
Yep, that's the one.
There we go. Even further up in the East Akala Stable, they would like a picture of Octorok Lake when it's in the shape of an Octorok, which apparently is when the water rises. So
I think I just got lucky because it was raining when I went, and that did the job.
Yeah, this one you need to wait for the weather to adjust. It's just south of the stable, and it will look like a little Octorok when it's raining.
Yep. It looks sort of less Octorok and more like the Hydra logo to me. It's pretty
I guess.
It's a very scary Octorok compared to the round little fellas in this game.
No, I guess so. I guess so. That makes sense now that you mention it. I do remember it looking more like the Hydra logo, like you said.
Yeah, like a skull with the tentacles hanging down.
On the map. The game I'm looking at that right
How
now.
Much can the... That's yeah. I think the map shows the version without the full rain.
That's it, yeah.
In the rain, it fills up, and then you have the tentacles and everything.
I think is it kind of like...
Because, the one on the map definitely doesn't look like...
There is little trees kind of dotted about on the map, so maybe it links up to that. That kind of looks like there's more... The trees are almost in line of the tentacles of the Octorok.
I like at neither version does it quite look like what they're claiming, but you know. I mean, if a lake looked that much like an octopus in real life, you would call it Octopus Lake and no one would argue.
Moving on, looping around to the first stable we spoke about on our journey, the New Seren stable. This one, they would like a picture of a geoglyph. And ideally, they'd prefer the one that's near the stable, which makes sense. I guess it's meant to be like local sites, right? There's a couple like these where they want you to take a view of something that you're probably going to have to take an aerial view of it. That I remember being a bit of a pain because I think my chosen strategy was to find one of those floating rocks, rewind on it until it started falling down again. So I was trying to take like a picture as Link was like hurtling down to the earth, and I think they ended up getting a very blurry, like out of focus, but still counted for the quest, like picture. Like one of those like pictures of like people take a Bigfoot in the woods or something like that. Like a cryptid.
For this one, I went up to the sky and then flew down and just found a... there was like a little mountaintop with some baddies on it. And I could just stand there and take a picture. No problem.
Nice.
You can get up higher when it's made like a hot air balloon. At least,
That would be the sensible thing to do.
Especially that's what you do literally in the game to look at the geoglyph with Impa.
But I preferred flying through the sky.
Portal into the sky at 1,000 miles per hour.
Correct.
Extreme photography. Looping
around the human region. Great photography, I know.
Extreme.
Looping around to the Hebrew region, next up at the Snowfield stable, they would like a picture of the giant bird with wings stretched wide in the Hebrew mountains, and it said that this bird can be seen when looking northwest from the lone cedar tree on Dolonto Peak when it isn't snowing. So this is kind of like that quest that you we've spoken about a few times that caught you out, Jas, where you have to look for the white bird. This one's again an optical illusion in the environment. So this one's probably closer to a more puzzly one than talking about it.
Yeah, this is almost identical to a puzzle that they did give us for a shrine, so...
Yeah, the white bird that we're speaking about.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so it is. And it's less obvious than that bird. It's just like a big patch of snow.
Mm-hmm.
But it does, it kind of looks like a bird, I guess.
Yeah. But yeah, you do have to go...
Yeah, you go to the spot he says and point at it, and it works.
So actually, the point, looking at the map, there's a little marker on the interactive map on Zelda Dungeon here. It's actually the point where you first meet up with Chulin.
Oh, yeah, cool. you go up to Tolomo Beat, and you're like, that's where you go through the cave system, and that's where you come out.
Mm-hmm. Spot on.
You just gave me it. Like,
this time I went up to the
Sky
Dungeon.
If I eventually do this side quest, like, I'm going to go to Tolomo Peak, and I guarantee you I'll spend ages still looking for this thing. even though I've got the general area, like, perception of that stuff is not the best.
Moving around, if we go to near the Tabantha Great Bridge, the Tabantha Bridge Stable, they would like a picture of the ancient columns at sunrise, but the monsters nearby make them scared to try and go and get the picture themselves.
Yeah, there's a... I always forget their bloody names.
Three-headed dragon.
Yeah, there's a Gleok up there.
Correct.
And yeah, I went and killed it just for funsies when I was getting the photo.
It's probably recommended, to be honest, because it's going to really interfere with you taking the picture, because if you wait...
Although the columns where you take the picture are kind of up on the hill above it.
Yeah.
They probably will ignore you, but...
There is still a, you know, a chance that it will aggro on you and mess up your picture time, so...
Actually fought that Gleok.
Yeah, you would,
because I was up here for like another side quest for like the East Gold Treasure.
That's right, yeah.
You shouldn't suffer a Gleok to live.
That's right, yeah. There's an ancient columns cave where you can get the Tunic of Awakening up here by completing one of Misko's Treasures of Awakening. Where I think the puzzle is you have to put a soldier's claymore into the hands of some statues, I think. Is that right?
Here there was just like a button on one of the columns to open the cave.
Ah. I think it's inside the cave, sorry, that you then have to do that.
Oh, right, probably the next phase, yeah.
But moving on, I think we've got a few more stables to go.
Yeah, we're almost done, I think.
Almost done. Moving around to the outskirts stable, they would like a picture of the special mystical cherry blossom tree found on Satori Mountain. So
they would like a picture of any cherry blossom tree. Because I can tell you, I just went and did the easy one near Lookout Landing instead.
Oh, really? Defrauding this poor stable for their pony points.
No, they say we would like a picture of a cherry tree. There happens to be one on Satori Mountain.
Ah, okay, I see. Fair enough. But it's an excuse to go
draw a picture. And like, wait a minute, this isn't Satori Mountain at all.
Is the Lord of the Mountain still up on Satori Mountain in this game?
I don't actually know, because it used to be the whole thing where... No, he comes when you...
You offer fruit the cherry blossoms. Yeah.
Ah, that's right. That's right. Yes.
Yeah, that's how you see the Satori now.
Of course. And yes, if we continue down the road through Gerudo Canyon, we'll come to... I'm just double-checking. It's definitely the last one, and we've not missed any. But I think we're all good. Yep. Moving round, lastly we come to the Gerudo Canyon stable, which is closing down. And we have two quests here. We've got,
so this is actually the first one where I did this, because it's easier to realise this quest exists than it is at the other stables, where you just have to go and look at the empty frame.
Yeah.
The way to get any of these quests is just in the stable, there's an empty frame. If you click on it, the guy will come over and ask, like, oh, you're interested in that empty frame? Well, we're meant to put a painting there, but... And amusingly, if you run into the stable and go straight to the frame, because the guy will still be at the front desk, as if you were taking out a horse, the game just sort of pauses for a second while he walks over to the other desk. But because the camera's on Link, you can't see what's happening. And I eventually realised that that's why it's like, is it taking this long to load this dialogue? But it's not, it's because the dude is literally walking over to talk to me.
My in-game lore reason for that is that Link is just really fascinated by, he's like, the build quality of this frame. Wow. He's been staring at it for really long, and the guy's like, oh, better go see what's going on here. That freak's looking at the wall again.
See, my thinking was that Link just is thinking, I'm going to put a photo of me up here.
I like your thinking more.
Yeah.
So, yes, they want, bizarrely, for the one that is getting the least footfall, they want two pictures. So, you know, maybe it's part of you know, a way they're going to try and save the stable and drum up some footfall again to come look at the pretty pictures. So the first one, they would like a picture of Spectacle Rock. And specifically, they would like you to take it when it appears to be smiling. So this was another adventure of Jay's Hurtling Rock Photography. Where if you take a picture from in the sky, you can kind of see the way that the spectacle rock's composed. There's another rock crop to the south of it, where it looks like two eyes and a mouth that are smiling. But it's, let me tell you, particularly difficult to get that in frame when you're hurtling through the sky.
Yeah, whereas if you just warp up to one of the sky islands above, it's dead easy.
I'm sure it is.
Yeah, there's like a little like segment of like ring ruin shaped Zonai ruin that makes a mouth, and then another like straight one that makes a nose.
That's right, yes, because you have to actually go, it's not on the ground. I've got that totally wrong. Yes,
Yeah, because
that's
I was
right.
also trying to line up the like rocks to make a mouth, but it doesn't. But if you go high enough, you can be above
Yes.
some ruins and see other ruins.
Correct. Yes, you're spot on. But yes, also be wary there is a Glioc kicking about down here as well.
Yeah, but you're way above it.
Yeah, and until you're not, when you're
Until you're
hurtling.
hollow
Yeah, if you're on a plummeting rock, then yeah, maybe not.
and and the second picture, they would like a picture of the giant stone sword up in the Gerudo Highlands. So this one is, I think, literally on what's known as Gerudo Summit. Kind of just to the east of the Gleok that's kicking about up there, there'll be a giant stone sword out in the snow. I think it's known as the Forgotten Sword.
Yeah, because there is there a, there's a statue near it that it's fallen off of, right?
There's a statue of the Eighth Heroine nearby there, right?
Yeah, so I think the
And
idea is it's her sword.
yes, I think that's the. But yes, with that is the last picture quest. All the stables are well adorned with selfies of Link and various bits of the environment. So, yeah. And I did say I would kind of finish off by going through. There's actually two things I want to finish off by going through. But the first one is the pony points. You get some nice rewards. You spoke about the Melania bed. Once you get 7 pony points, that's when you're able to unlock that, which gives you like extra health hearts, and you, I think it also triggers you to go visit Melania as well. I think you get like a message from him. Like you mentioned, you also get additional bridles, saddles, more horses. I think eventually you get a permanent discount off stable fees, and then you start getting like free tickets and carrots for feeding your horses and stuff like that. And boosting their stats at Melania, so it all kind of feeds into
Yeah, they're all very horse
boosting your
related.
horses. Yes, as you'd expect. I think the most, to be honest, the most gameplay useful one is the one you get for 3 pony points, which is the towing harness, which you will use for some side quests and things like that. So,
Yeah, or to try and build some sort of elaborate toad cannon that you drive past monsters but ends up just shooting you.
correct. And yeah, there's one stable of sorts that we haven't spoken about, which brings us back around to our whole stable trotting adventures with Pen. As we hadn't really mentioned what happened to Pen after we finished up the potential princess sightings.
Yeah, because
I mean,
the Lucky Clover Gazette is in what was a stable in Breath of the Wild. They've repurposed that
correct.
building.
That's correct. And yeah, the we get the froggy set from the editor for doing a job well done. But when you ask, "Oh, where's Pen?" They say, "Yeah, he's gone away. He's saying he said something about improving himself and something about a famous bard. The only way he can improve himself is going to visit this bard." And if you go to I believe it is up in, I'm getting, try to get the exact region of the world. It's the Thundra Plateau. That's it. And like you've got all those kind of mushroom looking giant mushroom things.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
There you'll find Penn standing on top of one of them. And he'll mention that, a famous bard once perfected his craft in this place and studied the songs of the land, and I was hoping to see him, but he's not here, so I'm going to wait here for a while longer. So that is our one, and sadly for the time being, only mention of Cass in this game.
Yeah. At least they acknowledge that everyone was hoping for Cass.
I am surprised he didn't make an appearance again.
That's where they go in the next Zelda game. It's, you don't play Link anymore, you play Cass. Cass Adventures.
It's interesting that they, because that is probably, of anything in this game, that feels the most like some DLC bait.
Mm-hmm.
But now they've come out and said they're not doing any. But yeah, Cass even was part of the DLC in Breath of the Wild.
Champions Ballot, right? Yeah. For being a side character, he was probably like one of the biggest side characters in the game. Like,
oh yeah, he was probably 7 foot tall.
Very good. He was going to get your attention wherever you went, just with that accordion. And
yeah, it was so nice arriving at somewhere and just hearing his tunes and strolling up to him.
So it is a little sad that he's not in the game. As far as we know, maybe he's not been discovered. Maybe he is in there somewhere.
Yeah. Maybe there's some secret 110% completion that gets Cass.
Maybe that's the reward for getting all the Korok seeds in this game, and everybody just kept very quiet about it for all the people that have wanted
it. That would be funny if they deliberately, where last time the reward was sort of a jokey, you shouldn't have done this, it's just a bit of poop. And now for this one, it's like, hey, here's the thing you all actually wanted.
Here's Cass in a whole new quest, new shrines, everything. You better go do it. I don't think they would do that to us.
No.
But with that, shall we crack back on with the journey?
So yeah, here we are back at the Highland Stable to kick things off. And it's interesting, actually. It's not until this very late stage in the game that you go to the one place where there was Zonai ruins in Breath of the Wild.
Yeah.
I think it's quite a smart little move.
Mm-hmm. It is.
Because any lorehounds would have been waiting to come here the whole game.
Yeah, I'm curious, and we will speak about this as we go through the main quest. I am curious if there are real big opportunities for sequence breaking here. Because, like you said, this area, the world, if you know your lore, you'd be like, oh, Zonai, let's go check out the Farron region. Mm-hmm. And there's every chance you might have stumbled upon this part of the main story. I don't know if it's even possible to do so, I guess we'll...
don't think it is. Like, be very surprised. It's all connected to the fifth stage, right? You'd have to go to. You can't see. You'd have to do Kakariko, right?
You'd have to do Kakariko to find out about it.
Mm.
But I'm pretty sure you could just stroll in and grab these armors.
True.
Yeah, we'll get
to that part about here at some point, like early before this main quest.
You also wouldn't have Toro to translate
what
you're supposed to do with them. But again, if you're on a second playthrough, you could maybe know that already.
Yeah. We'll get to it, because I think there is opportunity for sequence breaking here, but we'll get to it as we go through this part of the world. But any shrines of note to go on before we kick into the main quest properly?
So there's two, which obviously we would use as our fast travel shrines. They're actually at the top of the lake, the river that we're going to be following.
Mm-hmm.
There's the Geocoam Shrine, built for rails. So, 10 points when you didn't guess what you do in this one.
Some Tony Hawk.
Oh, I was thinking some Thomas the Tank Engine.
Isn't it with like minecarts and like use your shield to a minecart?
I thought it was for like a big. I think this one, if I remember rightly, yeah, looking at the pictures, you're pretty much just attaching like fans and things to like a big lump of metal and going along some rails. So.
I guess it is slightly more Tony Hawk.
It's slightly more Tony Hawk, but I can see Thomas the Tank Engine involved. Maybe they're both two sides of the same coin.
Connected by Biggie Smalls.
Yep. Super
Nintendo, Sega Genesis.
But
that was weird. I was thinking that I'd heard Jazz make that reference many times before, but I haven't. It's because Mercy's brother kept singing that when he was visiting us a couple weeks back.
Stuff on the Notorious B.I.D.
Yeah. He's just even more internet-brained than me, and when a meme gets in his head, he'll just repeat it ad nauseum until everyone's sick of it.
I had a little bit of problem with this shrine because it took me a while to realise that if you kind of did like a stabiliser, you basically build like a almost like a T shape, and then you can like put the middle of the T between the two rails so that you're not gonna fall off, because when you attach a fan to the back of the rail, it won't fall unless you've got that stabilizer to follow the course of the track. You're just going to go
lift
off. Yeah.
Keep going forwards.
It'll keep going forwards, and it won't go around any bends and things like that. Kind of taught me some some rudimentary engineering here, which I enjoyed. But it was fun to work it out myself and go, that's how I do it. Now I can build the train.
I do know what you're referring to, like putting a perpendicular plank between the two planks.
Mm-hmm.
But I feel like I must have remembered seeing something that was pre-built in one of the other shrines or caves, because I remember just instantly knowing to do that.
Right, gotcha.
And I think there are other caves and shrines where you have to ride rails, where I think they have things that already have that on them.
Every chance, yeah. I think I must have done the shrine fairly early. It must be near one of the Skyview Towers in this region. Because otherwise I probably would have been the same as yourself.
It's very, because it's up on the hill, you can see it.
Skyview Tower, so
like,
definitely can't do this really early. It's pretty central to Hyrule, right?
Mm-hmm.
But a little more complex, just to the east of there, there's sort of a more involved going into a caves type shrine. The Utogius Shrine.
Ah, yes, this one
has a little shrine quest.
Correct.
The man's blessing me.
This one involves a little bit of not darts, definitely not darts. I don't know why I thought darts.
Javelin
throwing. That's a much better analogy. Correct.
I can see why you would say darts and not javelin, because it is throwing it at a target.
Correct. Yeah. No, I'm not being totally out there with what I'm saying, but no. A little bit out there.
So there's a little notebook to give you a clue, and then there's a couple of Zonite spears, and there's a big suspicious circle in a rock nearby.
Yep.
But it's a bit too far away to just throw the spear. The hint it gives you in the notebook is attach a wing to it. Which I think means you can attach either...
Geese wings.
The... there's a, like, the Zonai device wing or a Keith wing. We'll make it glide as far as you need it to. And then, yeah. You just chuck it through the hole.
Yep.
Not the hardest one. But after doing that shrine, I guess we should... Bess? I think I was trying to say, I guess, or it's best. So I said, I Bess. I bet we should hop down and actually look at those Zonai ruins and meet up with our archaeologist pal Turo. Toro, however you say it.
Toro, yeah.
The singular form of the Pokemon Taurus. And we visit, so we have to follow along. There's like a very cool looking, actually, dragon shaped river. And am I remembering right that we start in its mouth?
Yeah, so we meet up with another member of the Zonai survey team called Calip, who he's there at the Poplar Foothill Skyview Tower, and they tell us to go down to Dracuzo Lake, which is the that's the mouth of the. Yeah, that's the mouth of the kind of... It's like a spiky... It kind of looks like a dragon. I'm pretty sure this was
from the map, it does.
Yes, and I'm pretty sure this was actually... Now that I remember it. Was this not one of the Cass riddles from Breath of the Wild?
It might well have been, yeah.
Yeah. So this one...
Because it did look like this in Breath of the Wild. And again, like, it probably looked like that for a reason in that game, and then they've repurposed it in this game.
Mm-hmm.
So I think it was just a shrine in its mouth last time.
Yeah, so you find a note nearby there who pretty much tells you that Tyro has gone inside one of the caves nearby. And you can see a lantern outside one of the bits of rubble. So when you go in there, he says that, okay, there's a riddle where... It says you need to wear an electric garb, whatever that means, while offering a Zonai charge to the altar at the tail of the wide-mouthed forest serpent. Can't even get my words out. And the tail obviously being the other end of the river that we're talking about here. But this is also the location of a treasure chest, which when we open it, we get the charged shirt, which kind of suggests that... maybe we need
there
to
might
get a
be
couple more pieces.
A head and the legs, yeah.
Yes.
So this is very, like Zonai clothing. Obviously, we've had other items which are officially like Zonai in origin, but this looks like the kind of stuff that Rauru and Sonya and all of their guards are wearing in the flashbacks.
That's it.
Very sort of Aztec-inspired warrior garb. Just the shirt on its own isn't that exciting, but as we can collect it, it's a fun little look. It has like the dangly bit at the front and sort of the hanging serape, and then just mostly exposed belly.
It's also got like a
little
like
tiny
a
Minoru. Oh yeah, it's the hat has the horn.
Yeah, unicorn.
Yeah, the hat. We're going for thunder.
I was going to say, that looks like a Kirin horn, and then the trousers look very much like Rajang armor.
Yep.
So it ends up being a full Monster Hunter set. Or Monster Hunter mix set.
It'd be a full set,
Yeah, the three bits of the armor, they're dotted around ruins like the first one. Going down the river, I think there's very small puzzles you have to do to get into each of them. Like
a fun little thing, like following the river down, beating the enemies up as you go. Like, section of the game.
Yeah, it does feel like a little this would be the start of an Indiana Jones movie.
Yeah, I'm like, actually thinking
like literally
that.
The start of Raiders is him in the jungle doing this kind of thing.
I'm pretty sure one of the last games I beat before Tears of the Kingdom came out was Uncharted 4. So I was already like in that mindset, and this bit comes along and yeah, obviously reminds me of going for some jungle adventures.
Yeah. And yeah, it is like it's a very rainforesty little jungle. Lots of ancient ruins. Much more like ruined than a lot of the other Zonai ruins we've been seeing. I guess because they've been floating in the sky and being maintained by robots until recently, whereas these have just been down on the ground. They're covered in moss. So shortly after Tears of the Kingdom came out, at the Tokyo National Museum, they had an exhibition like put on by the Mexican government, because Japan and Mexico are bum chums. And it featured a bunch of old Aztec and Mayan statues and stuff. And the dragons in this look just like that. All of these Zonai ruins. So that's interesting. When they were added in Breath of the Wild, and it said, like, oh, it was a savage people. They worship these dragons. Here's all these ruins. There was definitely no implication that it's going to end up being a super advanced, like, robot sky culture back in that game. But here we are.
Yeah, I think we spoke about this before in a past episode, but it is odd that there's a few bits of, like, Japanese media out there where these sorts of historically, like, deep history civilizations that are long expired actually end up being way more technically advanced than the present day. Like, I guess it's probably a warning, like, warning towards the, you know, the dangers of technology. Like, we spoke about that in our Laputa episode, right? So
yeah. Oh yeah, well, one of the things we speculated is that, oh, maybe it's just because Laputa was so influential
that
it's become such a trope. But there, no, there's sort of in Japanese mythology with the gods and stuff, there is, like, it lends itself to ancient alien stuff much more readily than some other mythologies do, because they are like the gods came down from the sky in a ship and they returned to the sky in their ship, and they sort of gave humanity these gifts and whatever. And it's like, yeah, you don't have to be as much of a maniac to start thinking ancient aliens with some of that mythology. And it does seem to be something like, at the end of Okami, right? The gods end up flying away in a UFO because they're all from space.
Yeah.
And then I think it is just something that, I don't think it's something that's like commonly believed, but it's something that people are amused by. And so it does end up in a lot of media.
It's because obviously, like, when you see, like, kind of glyphs from mythology and stuff like that, like, obviously you don't understand it, so it looks alien to you. So, like, I think you just naturally make that connection.
And also, there probably is an element of the idea of a post-apocalypse when technology was a bad idea. I wonder why Japan would think that based on their history. But yeah, it is a somewhat recurring trope.
In any case, once we get all three pieces of the charge set along our river adventure, our jungle cruise, shout out Dwayne The Rock Johnson, we can reach the tail of the river, and there's a little altar there, which when we drop a Zonai charge into the altar while wearing the full set, lightning strikes four pillars around the altar, and there's a... Oh yeah, during this whole time, as we've been going down the river, up in the sky, very conspicuous, I don't know if we've even mentioned this on the podcast, there is this little pocket of, like, a perpetual storm up in the sky.
Yeah, it reminded me a lot of Skyward Sword.
Yeah.
In the sky area, there's, like, a storm that's just hanging there the whole time, and you finally go into it in, like, the end game.
There's a big,
or maybe,
like,
just before the end game. Maybe it's like the midpoint. I can't remember.
Big, like, Leviathan up there, right? That's generating the storm. Yeah. And yeah, that's right. And here, you can, when the lightning strikes, you can see there's clearly a landmass up there. When the lightning strikes these four pillars, the sky is clear and reveals the islands in the sky.
Mm.
That is when, and where rather, we'll be leaving off on this episode, and where we'll be heading next time.
Indeed. Until then, though, listeners, you can find this podcast on Twitter at Hyrule Field Pod. We're also on Facebook, YouTube, Spotify, Apple Podcasts. Please do rate and review, like and subscribe. If you have friends who are playing for Tears of the Kingdom or who love Tears of the Kingdom, say, hey, here's this podcast you can listen to. There's 50 hours of chat about this game you loved. It'll help you relive the experience of playing it, or if you're playing it right now, it'll help you have that experience of playing it with some pals. And if you want to help support the podcast, you can head to patreon.com/podcastiopodcastius. And there, for just $1 a month, you can help listen to episodes as soon as they're done editing, and you can help keep the show online and support everything that we do, and find links to the other podcasts that me and Jay and Jas and our pals make.
And Jas, some sage words of advice, please.
Yeah, if you're happen to do your own podcast, maybe be prepared for it so you have a little bit more to say, unlike me today. So
talking for half an hour about a quest you haven't done.
Got to do your homework.
Yep.
And your homework, listeners, is to catch us next week. See you for then.
Cheerio.
Bye.